These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose, and several states were separated asunder. Chapter 11. The drones had dropped out of the sky. I don't know if they were weaponized or strictly observational drones, but we heard the whir of their engines, and they dropped out of the sky almost as one. There was about a dozen, maybe two dozen. They were in the air, and then they fell like stones. Crowds of people, hundreds of them, who had been struggling, slipping their way up the side of the mountain, stopped. It had begun to rain. They looked into the air where there was nothing, and they stared blankly, it's always blankly, at the broken wings and the tangled bodies of those drones hanging in the branches of ancient hemlocks and spread across the rocky outcroppings. The people backed away. There was not much threat of fire, but what was left of the drones was hot and jagged. Lays had slumped to her knees. I'd caught her by the elbow and I'd kept her from rolling off the side of that rock outcrop. But she slumped and nearly pulled me over. We'd seen the drones and she had said an odd thing. She said, "Damn him, it's okay, I'll fix it." And the drones, they dropped out of the sky. Now, I have just a few more words left to say about my time living, basically hiding with Lays Fitzgerald on top of that mountain in the winter and spring of 2032. Then we will move on. We have to. There is a long tale to tell. I have clung too long to that short period of time. It was an important period in the dissolution and establishment of the various and varied governments of the continent of North America. But I know I have hesitated, and I dearly know why I have done so. I have always hesitated to leave Lays Fitzgerald. Every time we parted, I hesitated. And an old man like me has a hard time turning away from memories of times and loves he wished he could fix. Because those times up on that mountain are the last, very last images I have of my own childhood. And those memories are the final images I have of dear foolish Lays, when only I knew her. And she, for such a short period of time, had leaned on me. Those were the days shortly before she cut her hair, well before the Battle of Memphis, where she received that scar on her left cheek that made her so easily recognizable and iconic. In time, her profile would be on coins and memes and official letterheads. It would be over 3 years before I was to see Lays again. Lays had balled her fists in concentration. 12, maybe 24 drones had dropped from the sky. "How did you do that?" I asked. I knew she'd done it. "What do you mean?" Lays said, and then she changed her tack. "We've got to leave, Turner. We've got to leave right away." "Okay," I said. "I'll get our stuff from the tunnels." "No time for that. We just gotta go." I thought about what I'd be leaving behind in the Library of Congress storage tunnels underneath that mountain. My bedroll, a couple of books, water bottle. I leaned down and I pulled on that huge metal latch of the camouflage door on the rocks that we'd come up from. It was tight. It was fast. It would not open, and I guess as far as I know, my bedroll, my books, are still somewhere down there. Never been back. A helicopter whopped over our heads. It didn't slow up a turn, I remember that. It just raced by. It was reconnoitering. I reconnoiter. Pardon me for my humor. It's Sucker House, the lady said. I can't be found. I thought you want to be found, I said. Well, the deal is, Turner, he's not really looking for me. He's looking for what's inside my head. The masses of folks have begun their marches again. Some just shouldered past us. Some looked us up and down. Others had uniforms. Looks like the North Carolina regulars are here already, I said. They must have beaten Richmond bad. Hard to tell, Lee said. Those who are actually soldiers will show up my chip. Can they register you? I asked. We knelt down and hidden behind some brush. Of course they can't register me, Turner. We'd be dead by now if they could. That damn chip in her head had practically taken over our lives. Had his own properties, its own personality. She could be seen, or not seen, depends. She could be heard, or not heard, depends. She could whisper to machines, and they would drop out of the sky. Now families and dogs and stragglers, they traipse by. Hey, I grabbed the shoulder of a boy. Where are you all headed? I asked. Away, the boy said, and his mother grabbed him, and they moved on. The great migration had begun all over the continent, all over the world, I imagine. The 21st century was a time of migrations, decades of them. If one could not stop the rising waters of the ocean, one could run from them. At first, the people with the tidewaters and the lowlands migrated maybe a mile or two, a foot above whatever was the highest tide. They backed reluctantly from their homes, watching as each line they scuffed with their boots in the sand was washed away. The next lands they set upon washed away as well. Then they claimed the parceled lands that were not theirs. It's an old, old conceit. Goes back to before the Revolution. They called it forced rights. Natural forced rights. The word natural giving it an odd spiritual vigor. Many, many rights were claimed and taken back then. And when there was no more land to force your rights upon, the next group of migrants forced their way further inland. It was how the West was won. Second and third time around, I imagine. Of course, the various coastal nations' reactions to this push and flexing of humanity was their stay put. Now, the stay put had worked. It worked for about 3-4 months. But basically, the whole idea of the stay put had become what a friend of mine had once named the stay wet. If you stood in one place long enough, the waters would catch up with you. Not all that many people want stay wet, so they moved on. I liked that term. I used it years later as a chapter heading in my tome, Early Migrations of Various Disadvantaged Social Collectives in the First Half of the 21st Century. Sold like hotcakes, I bought a fish. Now the group of people that Lays and I met on that mountain that rainy afternoon of 2032 was an interesting amalgamation of a number of wandering peoples, some of whom may still be wandering to this very day. You had soldiers representing any number of shattered and dispirited armies, fishermen and their families, lost workers of any number of vocations, name changers, tax evaders. We were all tax dodgers in the eyes of Texas, thieves and zealots. Lays and I heard the helicopter swing around and start to follow the ridge back. It's time for us to disappear, Lays said, and she smiled an odd smile, like she knew where she was headed. Don't get yourself sent to Texas, she began to turn away. You can't just go, I said. I have to, Turner. We got to go. We got to slip away and we got to split up. I'll be safe. You'll be safe. Really, Turner, we will be. But we have to go now. What am I supposed to do? You can dream of me. That's not enough. It will have to be. It's not. It's not enough. Not even close. Of course not. Lays leaned into me. Is it for you? I asked. Is it enough? It will have to be, she said. Then she shook her head. Of course it's not enough. And she kissed me and she gave me a quick hug, her arms hard around my neck. Goodbye, Turner. The helicopter came in low. Suddenly started shooting. Two men and a boy slumped down right there next to me. I fell and I rolled in the dust and twisted undergrowth. I reached out. I thought I'd grabbed Lays' hand. I thought I'd pulled her to me. But apparently nothing. I had not. A tree blew to splinters and lit in the flames. The various migrants ran and pushed and tried to scatter. But of course they scattered all in the same direction. Damn lemons, and I followed them. I followed them up and over that ridge west for 3 or 4 miles down the other side of the mountain into the beginnings of the Shenandoah Valley. Halfway down, I pulled up. Decided I had to turn back. I had to find Lays, coward that I was. But there was fire and more drones and screams and wildlife and deer and even a few bear barreling in after us. Gravity and history and nature all pushed me down that mountain. I saw a couple kids about my age were stumbling through a fallow field wearing the robes and the hoods of the name changes. I was glad to see them. They almost looked like the kids me and Lays had talked to the autumn before. I'd figured they'd be nice, or at least harmless. And I hoped maybe they'd heard of Sam Bellows. Sam was a forester of that land, and I knew, he wouldn't be knocked off his mountain for very long. I caught up with the kids. Aren't you name changers that stayed over near Syria last winter? Now I'm talking about Syria, Virginia, not the Middle East, just to keep our geography correct. Don't know what you're talking about, the boy said, and he put a protective arm over the girl's shoulder, and he kept moving. I walked along with him silently and then tried different questions to open him up. Don't you remember a lady who hid with you all last fall? She said you'd been nice to her. The girl started to speak. Is she okay? She asked. We don't know nothing about no name changers, the boy said. Aren't you name changers no more? I asked. No, man, hell with that. The boy, who was once known as Taylor Smith, and just like they all called themselves Taylor Smith, dropped his pretense. They were all like a religion or something. They wanted us to be all the same and same alike, but that bald man, that leader preacher, whatever he was, he wanted more than just be the same. We just wanted some food, the girl jumped in. But the preacher said we had to propagate, which meant that every girl in the clan was supposed to propagate with him. The boy jumped back in. How full of shit, man. Me and Claire, we're in love. I don't care if we get sent to Texas. Well, I do care. I do care. I don't want to get sent to Texas anymore than anybody else. So we're going to go to Canada. Bring up our baby. We're going to head west and go to Canada. Isn't Canada up north? I asked. No, it's west. That's what this printout says. He handed it to me. I looked at it. It was a 5-year-old cloudburst twisted digital printout. All the town names were wrong. Yep, that's what it says, I said. You want to come along? They asked. So I joined Ed and Claire. We walked that long walk west toward Canada. And that is how I came to be Virginia's ambassador to the Federation of Colorado. I'll leave you with that. Turner Ashby.